Let's turn in our Bibles to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. So far as the time frame of Malachi is concerned, it would put us just a short while, a relatively short while, after the Babylonian captivity. I say that for this reason. You would think, after the experience the two southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah, but known as Judah, or referred to as Judah, you would think after the 70 years of captivity in Babylon and all that they experienced there, that after being allowed to go back to their homeland and to rebuild the city and the temple, you would think there would have been such revival in their hearts, in their lives, that it would have lasted much longer than it did. So when we consider what we have in the book of Malachi, we have a very dark picture indeed. The Jewish people, once again, are disobedient. They are on a downward course. And this is a very bleak, a very dark background in their history. But there is one bright spot. And when we consider what some were doing that gave to them this continual revival in their hearts, it speaks to us today when we consider this hard, cold, calloused scene in which we now live. It gives us encouragement and a challenge as to what we are to do to keep on keeping on being excited about our Lord Jesus Christ and being faithful to Him and His Word. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Now you have just four chapters, so read these chapters sometime and consider how the Jewish people had really gone against the Lord, against the Word of God once again. But here is this bright spot. Verse 16, chapter 3, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." Now there's the secret right there. They thought upon His name. You need not turn to it, but in Philippians chapter 4, Paul wrote, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." I refer to this verse in the New Testament for this reason. When the scholars, there were 70 of them, who translated the Old Testament scriptures into the Greek language, mostly Hebrew, some Aramaic portions, but these 70 scholars translated the Hebrew text into the Greek language because there were so many Greek-speaking Jews. And thus they would have the Old Testament scriptures in the Greek language with which they were familiar. And this translation is known as the Septuagint, meaning 70. So when these translators came to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, referring to those who thought upon the name of the Lord, they used that word, that Greek word that we find in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that word means more than just a passing thought. It means what you would think it means. It means to stop and really consider this now, to meditate upon it, to mull over it, as we would say, to chew on it, which is the basic thought behind meditation. To think about it, chew upon it, that is, to take it into your being and allow it to become part of you. Now, that's what these people were doing, shall I say, this relatively small number of people who were keeping on faithfully for the Lord, they were thinking upon His name. Okay? Now, having said that, let's go back to Psalm 23. I was asked tonight if this message would be a continuation or in connection with what was given this morning, and my answer was no, it's not. But we were thinking of some names or titles of the Lord Jesus Christ from Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 4. Well, there is a connection in the sense that we are thinking about some names of the Lord tonight, and you see them on your outline there. We are thinking about some of the names of the Lord. These are some of the compounded names of Jehovah, and we want to think about these tonight in connection with Psalm 23. It has been said that Psalm 23 is the psalm everybody knows. Well, that would be wonderful if everybody did know it. It would be wonderful if everybody were able to say, as the psalmist did, "The Lord is my shepherd." That would be wonderful. And it's wonderful that we can say it tonight, is it not? I was reading Psalm 18 just a couple of days ago, and I was just meditating on a couple of verses. And as I read these first two verses of Psalm 18, I gave a title to it. I thought, my, oh my, my, my. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. I'm reading from Psalm 18 now, even though I told you to turn to Psalm 23. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. My, oh my, oh my. And the same writer in Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I have given some messages, not here, but I have given some messages elsewhere on the primary names of God. And I have considered that in some of my messages shared with you here, that I have given to you some of that study in bits and pieces. So maybe before it's over with, you'll have that study in connection with other studies. But I have pointed out that in the Old Testament now, just the Old Testament. Don't think about the New Testament. We're thinking of a different language. But in the Old Testament, when the translators translated into the English Bible, what we have as the King James Version, these translators put into the Scriptures a code. And you heard me say I hesitate to use that word, I don't mean it to sound like something secretive that you must be one of the spiritually elite to understand it. But they did put into the scriptures a code in the English translation so that when the average person who doesn't know the Hebrew language sees a particular word, that the reader will know what word that is. Now, we have pointed out, and I won't take time to go into it, when you see the word God, this is the Old Testament now, when you see the word capital G, small O-D, in most instances, not all, but in most instances, it is the word Elohim. It's in the plural form, Elohim. Sometimes it's in the singular, Eloah, or in the abbreviated form, simply E-L. You might see an ad in the paper, El-Al. That's the Israeli Airlines, El-Al, the Airlines of God. When you see names like Joel, Daniel, any of these names having E-L in them, you know the name God is in there. When you come to a name like, I'm going to pronounce it a little differently, Elijah. Well, you know now, J-A-H, that is the abbreviated form of Jehovah, but you have E-L at the front, the name God twice in that name. And that name means God is salvation, is it? God is salvation, Elijah. When you see the word God, capital G, small O-D, know that in most instances it is the word Elohim. When you see the word Lord, capital L, small O-R-D, know that that is the word Adonai. Most Jews will not attempt in any circumstances to pronounce the name Jehovah, or more specifically, Yahweh. They will not do it. Even when it is written G-D, and they know that that means Jehovah, they will pronounce it Adonai. When the Masoretes introduced the vowel points, the Hebrew language had no vowels. And when the Masoretes introduced the vowel points, giving us the Masoretic text, which is basically what we have, they took the vowels from the word Adonai, the vowels that they had introduced to the word Adonai, they took the vowels from that word and they put them in those four letters, J-H, V-H, and how would you pronounce J-H, V-H? You say, well, you can't pronounce it. That word Jehovah or Yahweh had come to that so that the Jews would not attempt to pronounce it. And when the Masoretes introduced the vowel points, then they took the vowels from the word Adonai, spelled in our English, capital L, small O-R-D. They took the vowel points from that and put them into those four letters, J-H-V-H, that gave us the word, in the Hebrew, it would be Yahovah. We know it as Jehovah, or more specifically, as Yahweh. Well, why did they use the vowel points from Adonai into this tetragrammaton of four letters. So when the Jew saw that, those vowels would remind him to pronounce it Adonai. Are you with me? Because they were not to take the name of the Lord, their God, in vain. If so, it would mean death. So they would not pronounce that personal name, I'm going to say that highest name of God, which we know as Jehovah, and I keep saying more specifically, Yahweh. When you see God, capital G, small o, d, in most instances, it's Elohim, a plural. And in the Hebrew, to be plural, you must have three or more. Lord, capital L, small o-r-d, is Adonai. Once again, in the plural, indicating at least three. There's at least one instance where it's in the singular, that Psalm of 110, where David said, "The Lord, Jehovah, said unto my Adon, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemy thy footstool." And Hebrews chapter 1 and 8 tells us who this member of the Trinity is. God said to the Son, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. All right, having said that, now when you see the word God with all capital letters, or Lord with all capital letters, know that it is that highest word for God. And you see it here in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. This is Jehovah. This is Yahweh himself. Look right across the page to Psalm 25. And I'm just putting my eye down on a verse here. Unto thee, O Lord. Now you see how it's spelled differently there in the English. That would be Adonai. But this word in Psalm 23 is Jehovah, or Yahweh. His personal name, his highest name. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the Bible has so much to say about shepherds and sheep. I would suppose there are so many references because the Middle East is an agricultural place, primarily. And there are so many shepherds and so many sheep in that part of the country. And the more we understand shepherds and sheep, and I know, I'm a city boy all the way, I know so little about shepherds and sheep, but the more we do learn about shepherds and sheep, the more we will understand the Bible. And the greater we will appreciate what so much of the Bible has to say. The earliest reference concerning sheep goes back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. The last reference is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, where Peter said, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." We can go to Isaiah chapter 40, which gives us this prophetic reference to the Lord Jesus. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah 53. My, most of us, possibly all of us, could quote verses 6 and 7. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. George Henderson has written a number of books. I think that was his pen name. But he called Luke chapter 15, or Luke Psalm 23, the pearl of the Psalms. Luke chapter 15, the pearl of the parables. And Isaiah 53, the pearl of the prophecies. And my, how many messages have you heard on Psalm 23? Actually, we have a trilogy of Psalms in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. And I know you've heard many messages, you have read many outlines on these Psalms. I jotted down just a number of words here in connection with these three psalms. In Psalm 22, we have the cross. In Psalm 23, the crook, the shepherd's crook. In Psalm 24, the crown, because it's the Lord in glory. Psalm 22, grace. Psalm 23, guidance. Psalm 24, glory. Psalm 22, the sword. Psalm 23, the staff. Psalm 24, the scepter. Psalm 22, provision. That is, the provision he made at the cross. Psalm 23, protection. Psalm 24, prospect. Psalm 22, substitute. Psalm 23, shepherd. Psalm 24, shepherd. Psalm 22, yesterday. Psalm 23, today. Psalm 24, forever. A trilogy of psalms. I want us to focus on Psalm 23 tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. And here again, I know, over the years, you've heard many messages on the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd who died for the sheep, John chapter 10, verses 8 and 27. He's the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. Hebrews 13, 20. He is the great shepherd who now lives for the sheep. And that reference of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. He's the chief shepherd who comes in glory for the sheep. I like outlines. I don't want to force anything, but I put down in verse 1 the person. The Lord is my shepherd. Also, verse 1, the provision. You know, it's as if David didn't finish the sentence. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm inclined to ask, you shall not want what, David? And I think he would say to me what we have in Philippians 4:19, I shall not want anything. Because my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So provision. In verse 2, peace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Verse 3, privilege. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And also in verse 3, the pathway. Verse 4, the presence, His presence. Verse 5, the protection. And verse 6, the providence. Also in verse 6, the prospect. The person who is able to say, Jehovah is my shepherd, is also able to say, I will dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. How wonderful to have that blessed assurance. I jotted this down too. I shall not want rest, for he maketh me to lie down. I shall not want refreshment, for he leads me beside still waters. I shall not want preservation, for he restoreth my soul. I shall not want guidance, for he leadeth me. I shall not want peace, for I will fear no evil. I shall not want companionship, for thou art with me. I shall not want comfort, for thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I shall not want sustenance, for thou preparest a table. I shall not want joy, for thou anointest my head with oil. I shall not want anything, for my cup runneth over. I shall not want happiness now, for goodness and mercy follow me. I shall not want glory hereafter, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But now I want us to look at the outline here as we think of these compounded names of Jehovah in connection with Psalm 23. Now, I have it here for you, so this makes it very easy. The Lord, this is Jehovah, the Lord is my shepherd, and the title is Jehovah Rohi. You'll see different variations of pronunciation as you look up these words, but Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. I looked up that word shepherd in Strong's Concordance and also in the Englishman's Greek Concordance, and found, or not in the Englishman's Greek Concordance, but in the Hebrew Concordance, and found that that word is rendered by several different English words. For example, in Isaiah 40 and verse 1, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. And the word feeds. That's what a shepherd does. He feeds, he tends his sheep. The word feeds is the same. Genesis 4 and 2, Abel was a keeper of the sheep. The word keeper. Proverbs 28 and verse 7, companion. Same word rendered here, shepherd, companion. And this is what David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Judges 14:20, friend. It's rendered friend there. Jeremiah 17:16, pastor. Genesis 13 and 7, herdman or shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. I shall not want. Now I put down Jehovah Jireh. That's in Genesis 22. You remember this. I think we touched upon it in the course of another message. Abraham and his son Isaac, who was about maybe 24, 25, 26, somewhere at that age. The two are going up Mount Moriah. Abraham had said to the servants, you remain here, the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And so as they were going to that place of sacrifice, Isaac said, Father, here is the wood, here is the fire, where is the lamb? You remember what Abraham said. What did Abraham say? God will provide himself, not provide for himself, God will provide himself a lamb. And then when Abraham was about to come down into his son with that knife, offering him as a sacrifice, God stopped him. And Abraham looked behind him, and there was a ram caught in the thickets by its horns. And Abraham offered the ram in the stead of his son Isaac. And he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, saying, in the mount of the Lord it shall, what? Be seen. It shall be seen. You might say, well, the Lord shall provide. What does that have to do with in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen? Well, now think about that word provide. Provide. Here are two words being brought together to make one. Pro has the thought of forward. And vide, if we were to take that word vide, V-I-D-E, and put an O on it, V-I-D-E-O, what would we have? We would have video, right? Or sight. You see, God in His pre-vision, the verb, makes provision. That is, God provides ahead of time. He looks ahead, sees the need, and He provides ahead of time. You understand? God will provide. God knows the need, son. Don't you worry. He knows all things. And I don't know that Abraham had these thoughts, but I'm thinking of other scriptures as we could readily think of them. There is a lamb that is slain from before the foundation of the world. God has looked ahead and has seen the need, and in His prevision, He has made and will make provision. The Lord will provide, and in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And my, when the people came together to that sight, there has never been a sight like that sight when the Lord Jesus Christ died. What provision. And in and through Him, we have all things. But my God shall supply all your need. Paul said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. My, His grace is sufficient. Our God provides whatever we need to live a godly life for His honor and glory. So we have Jehovah Rohi, which means the Lord is my shepherd. And Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I shall not want. But now we have Jehovah Shalom. You know what Shalom means, don't you? That means peace. Shalom. A Jew would say Shalom or Shalom Aleichem, which means the peace of God to you. The Arabs would say Salem or Masalami. Salem, like Jerusalem, the city of peace. But here we have peace. Look at it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. One of the gods we used to use, a Bethlehemite by the name of Nige. Nige said to me and to us, as he was pointing out some things in connection with sheep and shepherds, he said, sheep will not lie down unless they are at peace. And they will not go near troubled waters. And so the wording here indicates that these sheep, the ones who know Jehovah as their shepherd, they are at peace. The psalmist said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So I put down Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is our peace, is he not? And the comprehensiveness of the word Shalom in its use in Isaiah alone tells out that Jehovah is our peace. He is the procurer of peace. Isaiah 53, verse 5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He's speaking of Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the personification of peace, for he is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9 and 6. He's the publisher of peace, Isaiah 52 and 7. He's the perfection of peace, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, remember now, think on these things, they thought on the name of the Lord, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He is the power of peace, Isaiah 26, 12. He's the promise of peace, Isaiah 32, 17. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And he is the perpetuator of peace, Isaiah 9 and 7. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And the New Testament tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ, this one who is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, made peace by the blood of his cross. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul not only speaks about the peace of God, which we have as believers, but the God of peace who is with us. Jehovah Shalom. Peace. And he restoreth my soul. Jehovah Rophe. Jehovah healeth. Now, over on the right side at the top, with these compounded names of Jehovah, I'm giving you the scripture references where you will find these compounded names in the Old Testament. So there are the references. Look them up. But Jehovah Rophe, Jehovah healeth. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And the psalmist was able to say, he restoreth my soul. Listen, aren't you glad the Lord doesn't leave us or forsakes us? The grace that saves is the grace that restores. We belong to the Lord. We who are saved, we belong to Him forever. We are His purchased possession. And like Job, we are hedged about. We are fenced in. We are kept by the power of God until we get home to heaven. And whatever we need in spiritual restoration, the Lord is going to work. If we are so disobedient, He will take us home.
prematurely. But he restores my soul. Jehovah Rapha. And then the psalmist said, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So I put down Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah, and remember now, when you see the words the Lord, all capital letters, you know it's Jehovah. The Lord, our righteousness, or Jehovah Tsidkenu. And there are those who would have us to believe that nowhere is this highest name of God, Jehovah or Yahweh, given to or ascribed to Jesus. Well, those who think that and say it are wrong. Because when you go to Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah speaks about a branch of David. In the book of the Revelation, we read of the Lord Jesus, who is the root and the offspring of David. As the root of David, he existed before David. He's the everlasting one. As the offspring of David, he's the one who stepped out of eternity into time, taking upon him the form of a servant, human form, made of a woman, but born to David's line. And thus he became David's branch. And so Jeremiah speaks of this one who is coming, of David, who is David's branch, and here is his name, Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. And 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, the Lord Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. When we receive him as Savior, his righteousness is imputed or reckoned over to us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jehovah Shema. What does that mean? It means the Lord is there. The Lord is present. I know I've told you this before, but I hope you don't mind me sharing this with you. It's so precious to me. When I talked to Mother 2 weeks before she died, she asked me if I would conduct her funeral. I said, well, yes. She said, can you do it? I said, well, I think so. You'll do all right. She said, Brother Gerwood will help you. And he did. And I said, well, Mother, what would you want me to speak on at your funeral? Well, she said, speak on that portion where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I said, that's John 14. Yes, speak on that. And I did. But before I left, I said, Mother, I'd rather get back to Carolina. I said, well, what would you want me to read to you before I go? She said, read Psalm 23. Well, I said, okay. So I read it. And I said, Mother, you are about to go into the valley of the shadow of death. She said, I know it. Well, I said, now, it's easy for me to say this to you, Elizabeth, but on the other hand, it's hard for me to say this to you. Well, I said, you're about to go into the valley of the shadow of death. She said, I know it. I said, but Mother, it's only the shadow of death. A shadow can't hurt you. She said, I know that too, Lord. I said, but Mother, isn't it interesting when the psalmist starts off the psalm, he speaks about the shepherd in the third person. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But now,
when it comes to the psalmist walking
into the valley of the shadow of death, he speaks to the shepherd. For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Well, isn't it interesting?
He's talking about the shepherd.
Now he's talking to the shepherd. I said, my mother, you're about to go into the valley of the shadow of death. But isn't it wonderful to know the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you? And all the way from here through the valley of the shadow of death to glory, you're able to say, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is with you.
That's good to know,
isn't it? I mean, you know, we talk about
preachers preaching,
and this is easy to preach, but it's real. The Lord is there. The Lord is present. Jehovah Shammah. And Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah my banner. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think of the wild animals all about, ready to make prey on the street, ready to take them. Well, I know, but here is the shepherd, and he prepares a table, says the psalmist, in the presence of the enemies, and he anoints my head with oil. The Lord is my banner, here I stand, and well, I will fear no evil, because the Lord is my banner, and the Lord is my protection. And Jehovah Kedesh, the Lord sanctifies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I think the thought here is in connection with the Holy Spirit of God and sanctification. I'll just have to leave it at that. We belong to the Lord. We've been set apart. We have been made holy so God can enjoy us. He gives to us his own divine nature so we can enjoy him. But we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14, is it? Says, and by the one soul replies, he is directly killed. He has perfected forever those who are sold to God. You can't improve on perfection, you can't extend forever. He has perfected forever those who are sanctified. Jehovah Mekadesh. Jehovah sanctifies. And then the psalmist begins as he begins with the Lord. We started with The Lord is my shepherd. We end the psalm the same way. The psalm said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. Behold me, Elohim. Holy and reverent is his name. Psalm 111, verse 1. For holiness and reverence comes those who deliver his name. His name is pleasant. Psalm 1:2, verse 3. Let us praise him for he is full of delight. His name is glorious. Psalm 72, verse 19. Let us exult in him forever. His name is excellent. Psalm 148, verse 13. Let us speak well of him. His name is exalted. Isaiah 12 and verse 4. Let us proclaim him as the supreme one, as the altogether lovely one. His name is everlasting. Isaiah 63 verse 16. So let us worship and adore him for who he is. Let us think on his name in these difficult days and thus keep on keeping on for his honor and glory. I was going to sing another song, but time is gone.